Hello and welcome. Scare Track. Scare Track Podcast.
Welcome to the Scare Track Podcast, the UK's first podcast dedicated to the scare attraction and haunted house industry. However, please be advised that we have no censor. The language used may be of an explicit nature and is not intended for younger listeners or the easily offended. All views expressed are those of the individual host and do not necessarily reflect those of Scare Track, our guests, or any of our associates. So, if you're still here, let's get scared.
So this is where our adventure begins.
Oh my God!
I'm scared myself!
Kate Monroe is screaming.
Spoiler alert!
Freaking awesome.
The quality of the set was amazing.
Oh, I don't like it.
Hello and welcome to the Scare Track Podcast. On this episode, we are interviewing Jake Jones, scare actor and scare producer. Now, Jake has been within the industry for about 5 years, but he's been at a lot of different events. He's worked at multiple attractions within Alton Towers Scarefest. He's worked with Zombie Infection. He's worked at Extreme Scream Park and even helped design the finale of the Hoodoo Voodoo Maze for their second season. And most recently, he's been a scare producer at the award-winning Scream Camp, the only UK overnight camping scare experience, which is intense, get the pun, and it's awesome as well. And most recently, he's been working at The Retreat with the Scream Camp team. The Retreat, brand new event, we were the first other people to visit, so check out the episode on that. It's on our Scare Cam and here in the Scare Track Podcast feed as well. So we thought it'd be a perfect opportunity after we did a little bit of a behind the scenes acting at The Retreat. We have very, very little sleep, but we thought it was perfect time to get Jake onto the Scare Track Podcast and talk all about his time within the 5 years of the UK scare industry.
You're listening to Scare Track.
Hello and welcome back to this episode of the Scare Track Podcast. Like I said in the intro, I am here with Jake Jones, a scare actor and a producer of a number of shows as well. Jake, how are you and welcome to the Scare Track Podcast?
Cheers, mate. I'm really good, thank you. How are you?
I'm not too bad. We have both just woke up. We have just been behind the scenes at the retreat last night, which, of course, guys, you might have heard our episode from a few weeks ago. But I was lucky enough to do some acting along with Jake and the team last night. A fantastic event that runs all socially distanced. And we'll get onto that in a little bit, Jake. But you've been scare acting for quite a while now. So what gave you the bug? What really got you wanting to start into scares and scare attractions?
Well, in 2015, I decided to go to the Alton Towers Scarefest audition, and I thought, you know what, I'll give it a go. See, you know, I have no experience. Went along, got through, and since then, I've just been hooked ever since, and my passions grew stronger and stronger. And I don't just scare act, I also make my own horror props, weapons, masks, costumes, and all of that. So I do that on the side when I'm not scare acting. So I've got supplies to scare act with.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's like a nice, awesome, evil circle.
Yeah, exactly.
definitely. Yeah. So you started off Alton Towers 2015, 5 years ago now. And obviously you were successful in that audition. What was your first attraction you worked in?
Terror of the Towers.
Oh, like the What Lies Within Terror of the Towers.
Yeah, exactly, nice, yeah. Nice. And then 2016, I worked in Sub as the alien.
That's got to be a difficult one. Subspecies of the End Games. That alien is a big. That's a big costume. What was that like?
It was a love hate relationship. I loved it because it looked absolutely awesome, and the way I can move in it was quite. It was very restricting, but it was very awesome to watch. From a customer's point of view.
It was a visual piece for sure, absolutely, and terrifying as well.
But it was a nightmare. It was, my vision went down to about 20 to 30%. Because I couldn't see from the sides or down or up. It just
dark
sort of,
maze as
very
well.
Dark, yeah. And the mask weighed around about 4 to 5 kg just because of the amount of silicon, because the alien ones are really thick silicon.
Yeah.
So it was quite heavy.
So it's a difficult scare, but one that's worthwhile.
Yeah, it took two people to get me in and out of the costume as well.
Wow.
Crikey. And some species, unfortunately, not returning for this year. Completely understand why, because of the COVID rules and whatnot. But I think it's had its day now. It had four seasons.
Five seasons?
So, yeah, so there we go. It's had its day. Fantastic attraction. I don't remember seeing the Alien in more recent years. Do you know if they stopped using it? Or they couldn't get anyone nimble enough as you to get into it?
Well, I did it in 17 as well. I did Alien for most of it, but then I changed character into the Underworlder and Infected character.
Right.
So I had someone else cover the Alien for me. Mm-hmm. Just a bit of a swap around, really. But I noticed that myself because I didn't return in 18. I returned in 19.
Yes.
And I never saw it neither.
No.
I think people were basically starting to suffer in it or can't handle the weight and the restriction of it. I think that's what it was.
Definitely.
It was, you could tell it was tough, but it worked, and it got some blooming good scares. Absolutely. So let's keep on topic of Alton Towers for a little bit before we move on to other events you've worked at. So you've worked in Sub for a few years. You've also worked in Project 42 last year. What was it like going from Subspecies, which you're either playing an alien or an underworlder, to playing an infected crazy zombie?
Well, it was different, but I'm sort of used to that because I've done zombie work before. Mm-hmm. So when I'm not doing the Scarefest sort of Halloween season, I do out of season Halloween work as well.
Yeah.
Is that with Zombie Infection?
Yes, yeah. I did a couple of shows with Zombie Infection. I did the courthouse, the shopping centre, and the Wellington Hall.
Right, I see.
In Nottingham. So I did a couple there, really sort of built my zombie experience up.
Yeah.
Because I'm a dancer, I'm quite flexible, so I can move in weird ways and all that animalistic type of stuff.
Definitely.
So really, 42 wasn't anything new for me.
Yeah.
It was just another zombie for me, in a way.
Yeah,
definitely. And what did you prefer? Did you prefer Sub over Project 42, or was it just nice to have a little bit of a change?
Sub was my baby back in the day.
Yeah.
It was always, I want to be in Sub.
Yeah.
Because I became attached to it.
Of course.
And I knew that maze inside and out. And I love the idea of being a really sort of nasty character underground.
Yes.
Bit like Mad Max, but all underground. Really dark, really grungy, really cold. That sort of style. Really like Sub.
Definitely. It was a good kind of unique idea for an attraction. I really enjoyed it. It's had some, and for a UK major theme park to do something that intense as well. Was that something that sort of shocked you when you went back there? You went there, you know, 2015. That Alton Towers, that are quite used to, you know, the Sanctuary, to the Towers. It's very hands on shoulders, linear attractions. Were you a little bit shocked when they said, right, this is our new maze for this year? And we're going to split them up, we're going to push them, we're going to taunt them, we're going to make them go into different directions. Was that a little bit of a Alton Towers? Was that a shock to you? Because it shocked me when I went through it.
Yeah, I was in real shock because Subspecies opened in 2015, which that was my first year of scare acting. And I only did a couple of timid scare mazes before, like Terror of the Towers, Hands and Shoulders, all that. So when I went through that, it was a whole new experience for me. Mm. To be honest, I was absolutely scared in there. I must have fell over six or seven times, and I ran out that exit that quick, I fell over. But looking back at it, it was funny, but it was absolutely something out of this world when it first came around, because nothing was like it out there.
Yeah, especially...
It broke that boundary.
Absolutely, yeah, definitely. And it gave Scarefest a new lease of life that year, definitely. So, a quality attraction. And we always enjoy a visit to Scarefest, of course. Keeping on Halloween, before I want to talk a bit about the out-of-season stuff with Zedi, and of course talking about all your prop making, because they're all used within the retreat, which and they look real as hell. It's insane. But you've worked when it comes to Halloween at Extreme Scream Park as well. Did you just do the one season at Extreme, or have you been there a couple of times?
I only did one season Extreme Scream. I was in
Hoodoo Voodoo.
Hoodoo Voodoo, yeah. And when I went, one of the managers took me over to it and went, so this is the ending. You sort of walk over two bridges through a jungle, mm-hmm. and you sort of walk round, and you're out, and you went, I want to shake it up this year. I want something new.
Yeah.
And I've told him about all my design work and everything I do in it. And I went, and he said, I want you to design the finale.
Nice.
So I went home, drew a plan up, showed him, and he built exactly to what I drew.
Wow.
So it was really cool.
Building a whole new finale of an attraction's not bad. And that was the year it was nominated for a Scar Award as well.
It was, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And it's not often you'll get with the Scar Awards at the annual ScareCon event, you normally will get, for the likes of Best Maze, which it was up for, you'll only ever get mazes that are new that year, because although it was nominated in 2017, 2018 was the year of Hoodoo Voodoo. 2017 was very heavily the village, and then the year after, with all the improvements, Hoodoo Voodoo was sort of like the go-to maze for Extreme Scream, wasn't it? So
yeah, because Hoodoo Voodoo, when I went, that was its second year mm-hmm. in. So to get that nominated was amazing for me, really.
Definitely.
Fantastic finale. Explain what sort of the finale changed to, for any listeners that didn't go through. What kind of finale was it?
So the finale was basically where the head of the tribe lives, mm-hmm. like the leader in a way. So as you entered the room, it was like half tree trunks all on the walls mm-hmm. with skulls. On each tree trunk, top from roof to bottom, basically from floor to ceiling, yeah. And then like a big black cauldron with like green smoke coming off it. And it was, and then I had like a miniature stage at the back, but it was cut in half so I could jump between the two. It was really, really sort of.
It was a quality room, really, really good. And it really gave it, because you're right, it did, it fizzled out beforehand, didn't it? Whereas usually with Stilton as well, they have the things like the village has the awesome Reverend Bloodhusk in the big, big end scene in the church. And yeah, unfortunately. Although if Hoodoo Voodoo was a huge improvement on their dungeon attraction that they used to have there, bless them. But that second year, the fact that it had a proper good finale really gave it gave the maze the finale it deserved, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it also had a facelift in the garden as well. Mm. That had a whole new makeover. Because I went a couple of times to help make the tombstones there.
Right, okay.
And all the walls and all the cracked coffins and stuff. So it had a whole new makeover that year, really.
Yeah, definitely.
It's quality attraction. And it, you know, people are funny about hooded mazes, but what I like about that is that it's not just a hooded maze. There's lots of textures, lots of different floors. There's lots that adds to it. But also, you take your hood off. So you've got like a half and half. So it's a winner takes all, really.
Unlocked Vision, proud sponsors of the ScareTrack podcast. UVE are a multi-award-winning themed attraction and design company, providing bespoke themed attractions, theming, events, and experiences. Contact UVE today by visiting unlockedvision.com. Now, let's return back to the show. And remember, let's get scared!
So you talk about out of season stuff, obviously ZI. I bet we spoke to Kate, who's worked at ZI as well, and it's got to be knackering, because you have, like, is it like two or three shows a day straight after each other? You're being a zombie, and you're not the slow wandering zombies. You're fast, nimble, quick. Let's get out them zombies. What's it like doing ZI as an out of season scare attraction?
I actually really, really liked it. I loved it. In fact, I just love the intensity of you seeing them, and you're running absolute full pelt at them. Mm-hmm. They're turning around screaming, going, and panicking. And then they're shooting you and you fall down. You like slide like 3 meters on the ground.
Yeah.
It's brilliant.
It is insane. I remember I've done the courthouse event. I haven't had a chance to do any others. But what ZI do, Zombie Infection, they do story well, they do characters well, they do weapons well. I remember holding on to like my gun, and it felt like a real big heavy gun. And of course zombies, you're quite physically fit, like you say, you can dance and whatnot. Was it one of those jobs that was probably more taxing on the body than the normal quote unquote scare acting?
Yeah, well, they gave you training on how you should fall. okay. when you got shot. So you should sort of slowly fall onto your knees and then fall to the side.
Yeah.
But because I also used to do free running in my spare time, I'm used to taking some hard hits.
Yeah.
So I used to just run at a full pelt, and when I got shot, I used to just fall basically flat on my back or fall straight forward onto my basically my chest and just slide. I used to fall in all weird angles and positions.
Dedication to the cause, exactly, there. Dedication, yeah. But lots of bruises, I bet.
Yeah, I woke up and felt like I got hit by Mike Tyson.
he took his toll.
Mike took his toll, bless him. Well, fair play. And then more recently, obviously, with Scream Camp and The Ritual. Scream Camp last year, award-winning in its first year. And obviously, you were producer on that as well. What was that like working with, obviously, Callum and his team and creating the UK's only 10-hour overnight scare experience? What was the... That must have been some crazy discussions over group chats and in meetings. What was the sort of build-up of creating that event to then making an event so awesome and amazing that it won a SCAR Award in its first year?
It was absolutely brilliant. It's a dream come true because before I knew Callum and the team, I saw the advert on Facebook and I thought, I have to do this event. Mm-hmm. There's no question, I have to do it. And I... spoke to Dan Thorpe and he was doing it and he gave me Callum's number, so I rang Callum and he said, yeah, let's meet you and see what you can do.
Yeah.
And the rest is history. And then I became a producer and it's just a dream come true. Like, I absolutely love Screen Camp.
Definitely.
It's just a dream come true.
It's a very different style of event as well, isn't it? Because it's yeah. not an extreme event as such. It's just a very intense intense, forceful event, I'd say. It's not like I'm not going to have to eat anything horrible. I'm not going to get gagged and tied up to an extent. A little bit tied up. But it's more intense. It's more forced rather than extreme. And we've spoken to Callum about this as well. But I understand that was something that you guys actively wanted to ensure it didn't fall into that. Into that black category of extreme. It didn't fall into the red category of a scare attraction, but it's more in that grey area in the middle. And you sort of knocked the nail on the head with that, didn't you, really?
Yeah, because everyone goes through a typical, what we call boo haunt, you know, the scare mazes at towers, that sort of thing. And then you've got your super extreme, which really narrows down your audience.
Yeah.
And we go, well, let's put the normal... average Joe out their comfort zone and make that a little bit more extreme, a little bit more intense, yeah. but not so intense that you're cutting your audience down by half. So let's bounce it in the middle.
Yeah.
So like 1 minute you're having a laugh and having a marshmallow and the next minute...
you're in the boss's box.
Yeah. Or the boss's Uber, for example.
Yeah. Oh, terrifying Uber. Scariest moment of my life, yeah.
But so we wanted to have that really nice balance between a bit of laughter and your absolute limit and your worst fear, but not crossing that sort of line. So I think we hit that on the head, to be honest.
Yeah, 100%. It worked really well. And like we say, to have its first year, not only did it sell out, and that was like, you know, 30 tickets every night, that's a lot of tickets, and it had to add on extra nights. It's won an award in its first year, and obviously it was selling tickets left, right, and centre, ready for 2020 this year. Unfortunately, this damn thing called COVID has changed that, so that's all been moved to 2021, but I'm sure it'll be back bigger and better next year.
Oh, definitely. It's coming back, and it's coming back bigger, and it's coming back better.
And Shadow will be back, which is your character, your alter ego. He's got to be quite a fun... You can get away with a lot, Shadow, can't he?
Oh, yeah. He can get away with almost anything.
Almost
anything.
Within the legal limits.
Yes, exactly.
Definitely, definitely. And then most recently, obviously, we spoke about, as we just started the interview, The Retreat, a brand new overnight horror film style immersive theatrical experience that can be done with complete social distancing, complete COVID secure measures. And it's lucky that was the case, really, because I know the event was in planning stages before COVID sort of hit, but as myself and Hannah were the first visitors, and that was just as theme parks were opening, June or July 4th? July 4th. So it meant that throughout the time of COVID, you were able to change it up a little bit, make sure it's all completely COVID secure. It's terrifying, isn't it? Like, I mean, obviously you've seen it from an actor's point of view. I've been lucky enough to see it from a punter's and an actor's point of view. But we don't want to give too much away here because obviously there's some tickets still going out. We don't want to give any spoilers. But it's something that's just so uniquely different, especially here in the UK, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's done by the same team as Screen Camp, but it's a completely different story and completely different characters. And The Ritual, not The Ritual, that's the other show.
That was the Halloween show, which was great, But yeah, The Retreat. I do that all the time. The Retreat, there we go.
The Retreat, that's it. Is a completely different thing altogether. I've never seen anything like it in the UK. And it really, it's one of them shows that could actually happen to you in real life.
Yes, yes.
That's what's scary about it.
Definitely.
And I was the guinea pig when we were rehearsing it, and I did it as sort of a guest, and I didn't like it.
No.
To put it politely, I didn't like it.
It's terrifying.
It could happen to you. That's the scary thing about it. This is very psychological, this,
it's
this
like
show.
It's subtle, it's a slow build-up, yeah. it is
like a horror movie, like you say.
Sometimes less is more.
Absolutely, absolutely. A very stark contrast to Scream Camp, but... it's still scary as hell in a different way. Absolutely. Awesome. Let's talk about, before we end this podcast, talk about you personally and yourself. Like you say, you've worked in all these different attractions, whether it be in season, out of season, zombieing, lots of different types of events. You know, you've done mazes, you've done zombie events, you've done overnight stuff, and overnight stuff is a killer. We're knackered today.
Yeah, it is a killer. Yeah. It takes it out, yeah.
Definitely. But you mentioned your prop making. What have you always been quite... arty in that respect, or is that something you picked up since enjoying scare attractions?
Yeah, I've always been quite crafty. I can't draw for hell.
No.
But like,
draw a stick, man.
Yeah, exactly, same. But I've always been quite crafty with my hands, so I used to be a massive, massive show of Robot Wars back in the day.
Yes.
A friend of mine was on that.
Oh,
yeah, awesome. And what did he make? I can't remember which one he made now, but I'm going to have to find it out for you. But yeah, Stuart, a friend of the show, he was, I think he got like to the semi-finals or something. But yeah, that was an awesome show. Anyway, carry on. I love Robot Wars.
Yeah, I used to know all the names of the robots anyway. So yeah, I used to be a massive show of that. So I used to make miniature versions. So I got quite handy with like basic electronics, you know, wired the motors up to the ESCs and all that type of stuff. And that sort of, I did that sort of for a very small while. Mm-hmm. And then I got into the scare acting, went to my very first scare con in 16, I think.
16 would have been Dreamland Margate.
No.
17, Alton Towers.
2017. Yeah, 17 was my first scare con. And it opened my eyes up to the horror community because I didn't think it was like anything like that. I was like, wow, this stuff's awesome.
And everyone's nice and friendly.
It's just one big family. It's great. You can talk to literally anyone there. It's lovely.
Definitely.
And I saw him. I thought, I've got to get into this sort of making. So I went home, had a look on the internet for a few days. And I thought, you know what? I'll buy a couple of items and then give them a whole new complete makeover.
Yeah.
And they turned out better and better and better to the stage where you could probably use them on camera.
Yes,
definitely. That's like they're film ready, sort of.
Film ready, yeah.
And like I said, we use them when it comes to the retreat, where it's sort of like you sort of like get the props and then just give them a facelift, sort of thing, isn't it? Like you just make them look real and more textured, and like you say, they're just getting better and better and better. And you sort of get requests off people now, don't you? That they ask for you to make them these products. Is that something that you're looking at doing more moving forward? If people could contact you and sort of say, I want a bat to look like this, or I want a dagger to look like this. How can people contact you to be able to get what they might want prop wise?
Unfortunately, my only social media is
Instagram.
But that's okay. That's what all the kids are with Instagram. That's a good thing.
Exactly,
it streamlines you. They know where you're going. Yeah. What's your stream? What's your Instagram username?
Jake Jones 15A.
Jake Jones 15A, and I'll put a link of that in the show notes below as well, guys. So if you want to check out and get yourself one of your own props, and I can speak for Jake here, that they are awesome. Like, I've seen them myself. I was using last night. I used a what was it? A axe last night. That was it. I was with the axe last night. I think I was with the wrench the week before, the month before. Awesome. I mean, it's been awesome chatting to you, Jake. I really enjoyed talking about all the different scare attractions, and obviously your props as well. But I understand that it's changed you as a person being in this sort of industry, hasn't it? Made you more confident, more sort of. It's again, I'm quite lucky that I have ScareTrack as an outlet, especially through this lockdown thing. When you're bored, you're down, you're upset, you do something that sort of gives you the outlet, and I do ScareTrack. And you sort of found that through the passion of scare and haunts, haven't you?
Yeah. I find scare acting and anything to do with scaring, like the prop making, the masks, all that, as a form of therapy for me.
Yeah.
It's what I go to escape and relax and really...
Life can suck.
Oh, definitely. Life can suck, especially in these hard times with all the COVID. Mm-hmm. So I just escape down into my workshop and I just let my ideas run wild. I thought, yeah, I can do this. I can make that. I can make this look rusty. I can make this look aged. I can make this look all, you know, bloody. It's like... And that's my little escape.
Yes. Yeah.
So when I was helping to, you know, write ideas for the show Screen Camp and the retreat, that was sort of my happy place.
Yeah, definitely.
I can forget about the world problems for a minute and just focus on my horror, and it's just a nice form of therapy for me.
Yeah, definitely, 100%. And sometimes that is the best medicine, isn't it? You know, and especially when people can be down, and mental health issues are obviously prominent and things like that. Again, I find that ScareTrack works for me to be my outlet, and you can tell just from your passion, from when I see you at events or when I see you doing a dance off at ScareCon, which, guys, check out the video on ScareCon on ScareCam YouTube channel. I think you gave me a lap dance at one point as Twisty the Clown.
I was Twist McDingle the Clown, yeah. And that's when you're in your wheelchair and I gave you a lap dance, yeah.
We're all family here at the Scare World. Awesome. Jake, thank you so much for coming on the Scare Trap podcast. Really, really do appreciate it. Fingers crossed, we'll see each other at a few events over Halloween. Oh, if not, we'll be scaring at the retreat next time.
Oh, yes, definitely. And it's been a pleasure having this talk. It's been awesome.
It's been great. Thanks so much, buddy.
Thank you, mate. You're listening to Scare
Trap. So there we go, folks. That brings us to the end of this ScareTrack podcast. First of all, a huge thank you to Jake Jones for coming on to the ScareTrack podcast. Really, really do appreciate it. He's worked in quite a number of attractions now, and he's only been in the scare industry for about 5 years. Lots of different places, different style of events. Of course, you've got the scare mazes, you've got the overnight stuff, and you've got the zombie stuff as well. So he's done quite a lot of different scare acting, and he's really bloody good as well. He's intense, he's fast, and he can beat anyone in a dance-off. So there we go. A huge thank you to Jake. Thank you to you guys for listening to this episode of the ScareTrack podcast. Remember to join us over on our social media pages. We are on Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter, and Facebook. Just search for ScareTrack. Of course, we've got our website as well, where you can find absolutely everything ScareTrack related, www.scaretrack.co.uk. We've got our scare cams, our merchandise, our podcasts, all in one place over at scaretrack.co.uk. So thank you so much for listening, folks. That brings us to the end of this episode, and we'll see you next time. Bye, guys.